the title of this sermon, I'm not even turned on. This is turned on? Okay, I'll use this. Seven things God hates. It's interesting. When Christians think on God, what do we think about when we think about God? God is love. And brothers and sisters, God is love. But God is more than love. The Bible teaches us that God is just, God is righteous, and yes, there are things and attitudes that God hates. And if He hates as much as He loves, then we better be careful, hadn't we? And God has said that there are seven things that He hates. Our modern world, particularly, I only really know the United States and then Germany, so I can't speak for too much of our modern world. But some of the brightest lines of right and wrong have been blurred. Our world seems to pride itself in saying the things that God has called wrong, right. And the things that God has said is right, our world is calling wrong. But even today, there is hope. And that hope lays in teaching the gospel and in teaching the will of God for mankind. This passage in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, speaks of some hateful things. Things that God hates. God is a God of love, but these things that He lists are going to be the opposite of love. These are attitudes. And God has said that He hates these attitudes in mankind. And I think it's extremely useful for us to know the things that God has said that He hates. The scripture we are studying today is a powerful expression of the mind of God about some things that are all too common in modern United States. Solomon at this time was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write these proverbs. And these proverbs come centuries before the birth of Jesus Christ. And even though centuries have passed, brothers and sisters, God still hates these things. God has not changed. Yes, our social conditions change. Our moral codes may change. Man's attitude toward these morals might have changed. But God's attitude and God's hate for these things has not changed. So this passage is relevant for our modern world, for us today. Christianity teaches us that Christians need a positive mental attitude. We are told to look to heavenly things. We are told to be thinking about honest things and just things. God wants us to have a positive attitude, and He wants us to think on things that are pure and things that are good, things of good report. But we do need to be aware of the things God hates, because these things are evil things. These are negative forces in our world, and we need to avoid them, or we will fall victim to them. The evil things of this world are a reality. There is a darker side to our world. These evil things are not only a reality, we could look at them as a cancer that eats away at our society. And in some cases, eats away at the very Church of God. They are addictive, and they are damning. And God warns us to avoid these attitudes that men and women seem to flock to at times. First, He says, God hates a proud look. In the New American Standard, it says, haughty eyes. And I think we've all seen haughty eyes, sometimes aimed at us, and sometimes we're aimed at someone else. a proud look, or haughty eyes. What is our society, particularly here in the United States, what is one of the things that our society teaches? Be proud of yourself. Be number one. And if you're number one, what's that make everybody else? No one's as good as number one. And so we are taught to be haughty. We are taught to have a proud look or haughty eyes. We strive to be better than everybody else. And of course, that's where the problem comes, isn't it? We not only strive, but we begin to think that we are better than others. And once we are there, once we're number one, no one else is as good as we are. And so we tend to look down at people. We tend to look at them with haughty eyes. Maybe we have superior strength. Not me. Maybe we have superior beauty. Now, I come close, maybe. No. No, not even there. Maybe we have smarts. Maybe we have eloquence. Maybe we have political power, political authority. Maybe we have achieved things that no one else has achieved. And we show that sometimes by a disdainful tone of voice or a cutting remark. Maybe an exclusive behavior. I only hang with the cool kid. Cool was the word that was in when I was a child. And I don't think that says anything. Do they still use that word cool today? I guess, good, I'm not too far out of date. Exclusive behavior is wrong, and our society tends to encourage it. We are taught that God hates this kind of attitude. Anytime any person raises an eyebrow at another person because of color, because of education, because of wealth or position, for whatever reason, God says this is an unlovely way to act. A proud look is a cruel thing. It's cruel and it's thoughtless and it is inconsiderate. It wounds, and it wounds deeply, doesn't it? When someone looks down at you. When Jesus asked who was the greatest in the kingdom of God, You remember what Jesus brought forward? A child. And what did he say, Charlie? Now, whosoever shall humble himself as this child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of God, of the kingdom of heaven. Be humble. That's not something our world looks good at, is it? Be humble. We look at it often as a weakness. But Jesus said, that is the person that would be greatest in my kingdom. And the Lord resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God hates the attitude of proud eyes, haughty eyes. Secondly, the Bible teaches us God hates a lying tongue. Oh, that probably touches all of us, doesn't it? A lying tongue. The Lord hates those who tell lies, but is pleased with those who keep their promises. Perhaps the reason why a lying tongue is so despicable in the sight of God is that he knows the mouth speaks the things that are in the heart. Matthew 12 and 34. See, where do things come from that we say? But from our heart. And so, a lying tongue would come from a lying heart. To make up a story for whatever pretended high and noble purpose and go out and tell it against another person, whether it be for personal gain or for glory or for advantage, in the eyes of God, it is despicable and shameful. God hates this sort of thing. Not only because it can destroy maybe the good name of someone, but because it, like a cancer, is ruinous to the soul of the one who lies. A person who falls into the kind of habit of lying is in a self-destructive mode. One of my favorite passages from Shakespeare is, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when at first we seek to deceive." Probably the only piece of Shakespeare I actually know by heart. And I love Shakespeare. But it's true, isn't it? If you tell one lie, you have to tell another lie to cover yourself up. And then you just keep telling lies to cover yourself up. And one day, do you know what happens? You believe the lie. That fish that you caught all those years ago that was that big, all of a sudden it's this big. And you believe it now. You know, it's been 30 years ago. But I've never caught one that big. I think the biggest I ever caught was that big. And that was a catfish. Now, there was a spoonbill cat. That's in Tennessee. I don't know. Maybe you know of the spoonbill cat. Its nose is about that long, so half the fish is the nose. You can't eat that part. But God says He hates that sort of thing. Because it destroys and does not build up. And I was thinking on one of my favorite passages in Revelation 21. Revelation 21:8. Remember that song? The last part of it says, it's in the middle, I guess, "And he who tells lies," along with the other list of hateful things that God hates, "will be placed in the lake of burning sulfur." This is the second death. You see, where do liars end up? In hell. It's not a good habit to get yourself into. The third thing that the Bible says God hates are hands that shed innocent blood. All sin is offensive to God, but for me, this is maybe one of the most heinous sins, the shedding of innocent blood. In Genesis 9:6, here's what God told Noah. "Whoever kills a human being will be killed by a human being, because God made humans in His own image." Who has the right to give life? And who has the right to take life? God. And if anyone finds this offensive, what can I say? God is the Creator. God can give and God can take away. I am not God. I do not have that right. Whether that life be that of an unborn but living baby to that of another person, God hates those who take innocent blood. It is not our right to decide. And it's my opinion, but legalized abortion is our national shame. And I pray that one day our nation will bow down in repentance upon its knees to God Almighty. How can we be a nation of peace? How can we be a nation of liberty and tranquility if we have legalized murder? Fourth, God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. I was talking to someone just recently, I can't remember who it was. It's just unimaginable to me that somebody would sit around and write computer viruses. Just all the time it takes to put, I don't know, I've never written computer programs, but I imagine that's a lot of work to write a computer virus. And what is the sole purpose of a virus? To ruin someone else's computer. And there are people who love to sit around and do that. They'll spend hours and hours writing a computer virus to destroy other people's computers instead of using their knowledge of computers to do good. Whether it be good for others or good for themselves, they devise wicked plans. They are robbers on the road to Jericho. They use their ingenuity to bring about pain and distress and ruin to others. Whatever their motive might be, base gain, profit, to wield power, or just because they know how to do it, God disdains such attitudes. He hates that kind of an attitude. They prey upon and seek the destruction of anyone who crosses their wicked ways. They may not even know you, but they want to hurt you. The Bible says God hates a heart that devises wicked plans. I also think of the schoolboy. What's his sole purpose? To hurt others. There are many ways that you can devise wicked plans. Fifthly, and it's closely linked to the one above, God hates feet that are swift in running to evil. The evil heart devises wicked imaginations, and feet are swift to carry us. How many of us have ever joined in wicked things, knowing they were wicked? Maybe we just wanted to be one of the guys or one of the girls. Maybe we just wanted to blend in. But feet that rush into wickedness, God hates. You ever think about that? He hates those who rush to do evil. They tell lies. They plan mischief. They do evil with no regard for innocent people around them. Whether it be the school bully, or the, I guess, if I say this name right, the Madoffs of this world. What was his purpose and plan? To get rich. And, excuse it, my English, but damn all the other people who tried to get in my way. Isn't that what he did? How many people have no more money because of this man's greed? I think of terrorists. Whether these terrorists be Islamic bullies that want to hurt anybody that's not of Islam, or whether these terrorists who, in the name of God, blow up abortion clinics, God hates such action and such attitude. Does it matter what type of terrorist you are? God hates it. Hates that kind of behavior. It is the very opposite of what God seeks from His people. And we need to avoid feet that rush to do wickedness. Remember what God said? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. It is not my job to be judge and executioner, because I am not God. God alone has the right of judgment, and vengeance is clearly His. God hates feet that rush into wickedness. Six, the Bible says God hates a false witness who speaks lies. Now, it is not only meant here the act of perjury, of giving false testimony in the court of law. That's a large part of it. But I also think that God is talking about people who propagate or tell lies about someone else to hurt them, to ruin reputations. I think sometimes we're guilty of this, aren't we? We hear gossip. And gossip is not a nice thing, is it? We hear gossip, and sometimes we tend to pass it on without ever checking to see the truth or the validity of it. And even if this gossip is true, should we pass gossip on? If it's going to be hurtful and hurt someone? No. God hates a false witness who speaks lies. And sometimes I think we're guilty of that. Not meaning to, we spread Even if it's the truth, we spread hurtful things about people. Sometimes, don't we? God does not like this type of attitude. Do not forget, we're liars in death. Seven. The last of the seven things that God says He hates. Sowing discord among brothers. The the New American Standard Bible says, one who spreads strife among brothers. Jesus, when He talked about His people, He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed is he who tears up the brothers, but the peacemakers. Cursed are the mischief makers, in one translation. In Proverbs 22, 24, and 25, we read, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourselves ensnared. Sowing discord among brothers is bad business. The Bible defines such discord and division among those who call themselves Christians as the work of flesh that will keep a person out of heaven. Galatians chapter 5. Let's read verses 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 and following. The wrong things the sinful self does are clear. Being sexually unfaithful, not being pure, taking part in sexual sins, worshiping gods, doing witchcraft, hating, making trouble, being jealous, being angry, being selfish. Now, listen to these two things. Making people angry with each other, causing divisions among people, feeling envy, being drunk, having wild and wasteful parties, and doing other things like this. I warn you, says Paul, I warn you now as I warned you before, those who do these things will not inherit God's kingdom. That includes people who make others angry with each other, and those who cause division among people. God hates these things because whatever the pretense or disguise under which we do them or practice them, however noble we think our intentions, these things are works of the devil. They are from God, not from God. They are from Satan. The Bible doesn't say God dislikes these things, did it? The Bible says God hates these attitudes. The practice of them will cause the person doing them to be lost in hell. They destroy a person's loving relationship and friendship with others, as well as with the Heavenly Father. There is a better way. It is the way of Christ that focuses man's attentions on higher things, more noble things. His way offers man relief from the guilt of such abominable behavior. Christ found people during His ministry whose lives were characterized with such evils as we have discussed today. You know what Jesus said to them? Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. His invitation is still open. Will you not come this night in repentance? In the name of Jesus, according to His command, will you not change your lives and your thinking to be that of Christ? And if you have not yet been baptized, will you not come this night and wash away your sins and guilt in the blood of Jesus? This is the Lord's way, the way of love and righteousness and justice. Will you not come as we stand and sing our invitation song?